Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
Not too bad. How about you?
I'm upright.
Yeah.
That's, hey, I'm upright. Still no car repair done yet. So, but they did let me know that they are doing the painting today.
Cool.
So I should have it back by the weekend.
Are you going to put like some gnarly colors on it, like flame with teeth, and just say on the back have like they did in World War II, a little Japanese mark, and you put like a little motorcycle mark on the side, just gotcha, and then maybe on the other side have pedestrian marks, and then bicycles, and maybe pets and things like that.
I have always wanted to put the maid symbol on the hood of a car.
Now you're talking.
I've always wanted to do that, but I've never really, pulled the trigger. But no, I'm not going to do anything special. Just want my little baby back. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I won't. That's too easy. You gotta work for it.
DC has put out the stuff that they're coming out with in December, but Marvel is trickling it out. And there's a few things that they trickled out today that I thought I would let you know about, Joe, that you probably don't know yet.
But then when previews comes in a couple weeks, it won't be any fun.
No, this is just one little bit of it. You know, the Infinity, what is it called? The Infinity Wars is finishing up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another one of those where here's the miniseries and here's a 15 miniseries that go with the miniseries. It's kind of like why the whole Wolverine coming back, I have no clue, because I'm not going to buy 8 miniseries a month.
Yeah, no. I've checked out when they did that with Hunt for Wolverine, Return for Wolverine.
Yeah.
I'll stick with the main series, maybe the crossovers, or better yet, in 8 to 10 years, when I'm thinking fondly of it, I'll buy the omnibus.
There you go.
I'm not gonna, suck into it.
But they've announced some omnibuses for December, although they probably won't be out till March.
Yeah. No farther than that. They're usually like a 4 or 5 month delay on omnibuses, unless they've gotten better.
So we're gonna
the bad news.
No, there's sad news.
No, bad news.
Oh.
Where do they publish omnibuses?
China, usually.
Yeah, guess who's getting into a trade war with China?
Yeah, I saw that.
So I'd expect your omnibuses prices to start maybe going up a little bit.
Or they'll just print them out in Canada where they printed comics back in the 90s.
It's possible. We'll see what and that may actually make the availability quicker.
Yeah.
Because, that's one thing about an omnibus. You've really got to look at when it's coming out because, you're thinking, oh, man, that's an extra 50 to 100 bucks a month. Well, no, but it's not coming out for, 6 months.
Yeah.
So that's when they all start coming out.
Yeah, I got three of them in my box this week, but we'll talk about that in a bit. The first one, the Infinity War Omnibus, the sequel to Infinity Gauntlet.
I'm thinking Infinity Crusade. So
yeah, nope. This
that I expect to be a crossing type.
Yeah,
War I may pick up. That was entertaining when it came out.
It is 1,352 pages. Here's what it's got in it, Joe. Are you ready?
Sure.
Infinity War 1 through 6, Fantastic Four 366 through 370, Spider-Man 24, Deathlok 16, Daredevil 310, Warlock and the Infinity Watch 7 through 10, Doctor Strange Sorcerer Supreme 42 through 47, Roy Thomas when he was doing Doctor Strange knew where his bread was buttered, and that was in crossovers. Silver Surfer 67 through 69, Wonder Man 13 through 15. Did I ever tell you that I was so excited about Wonder Man, thought it'd be such a big hit, I bought 20 of the first issue?
I remember that first issue, too.
Still got them. Alpha Flight, 110 through 112. Silver Sable and the Wild Pack, There's a 90s title. 4 through 5, Guardians of the Galaxy, 27 to 29, Quasar, 37 to 40. New Warriors, number 27, Moon Knight, 41 to 44, Nomad, number 7, Sleepwalker, 18.
That is Sandman done right.
Yes. The next is The Infinity by Starlin and Hickman Omnibus, which is a weird mix. It's Infinity Gauntlet 1 through 6, Infinity 1 through 6, New Avengers 7 through 12, and Avengers 14 through 23.
Mm.
I thought that was a very weird mix. For me, all the New Avengers and Infinity are in the Jonathan Hickman Avengers collection, so I don't need it. But
and
this
I
is...
have the comics, and you know, I don't know if I want to end up... I'm waiting for the Secret Wars one, because that's got to be due, being that right here waiting down the my desk so it doesn't tip over is the Avengers by Hickman Volume 2.
Yep. Now, here is the one that I am all over. Thanos Wars Infinity Origin Omnibus.
Okay.
Iron Man number 55, Captain Marvel 25 through 34, Marvel Feature number 12, Avengers 125, Strange Tales 178 through 81, Warlock 9 through 15, Marvel Team Up 55, Avengers Annual 7, Marvel 2 and 1 Annual number 2, Marvel Graphic Novel number 1, and material from Daredevil 105 and Logan's Run number 6.
Did they have a collection of that? That sounds very familiar.
No, they've never collected all of this before.
Hmm.
Because there's the Warlock collection. There's the Life of Captain Marvel collection.
Oh, I know what I'm thinking. The Drax collection.
Yeah. But this is all of the Thanos story up until the death of Captain Marvel.
Okay.
And all of Starlin's Captain Marvel and everything. So, I am all over that.
If that's in that, then I don't have to order the Death of Captain Marvel graphic novel.
Right.
Although there's stuff in that that's not in the omnibus. So
yeah.
I'll have to think about this.
But I'm all over this one.
Cool.
So there's your big omnibus news.
The only other news really that hit is I was going to cover it in geeking a little bit, but boy, that Captain Marvel trailer hit.
Yeah, I have not seen it yet, but I actually had a couple people at work message me within minutes of it dropping. And all I wanted to say is, are you watching YouTube at work? Because you could get caught for that.
So I was excited about it.
I actually know someone who, I won't say they were a friend. I knew someone who got fired because they got caught watching baseball at work. They would have it down on a little corner of their screen. And whenever anybody walked by, you know, they'd click on the spreadsheet they were supposed to be working on. And eventually they looked at his internet browser history. It's like, wow, you do a lot of streaming, don't you? Remember, kids, when you're at work, they can see every place you go.
I know. I get told that constantly when I get on the eBays.
Yep.
This can't be shown. We've reported it. And I'm like, well, it's about time. I've only been looking at it for 16 years. And you think about that, but I mean, I've known people that, not at my job, but they're on a government computer and they got fired. For guess for what?
Porn!
Well, and I'm not talking peas and corn here, folks.
Yeah, I once worked someplace where I had to go through someone's computer and, boy, that stuff I wouldn't have even looked at home. I just, all I could say was, wow. Just wow.
Yeah.
You couldn't wait till you got home.
I just couldn't wait.
You know, there are times I will slip over to CNN's website to see what's going on in the world, but there are some websites that I wouldn't go to while I'm at work to see what's going on. And how is St. Paul? Has St. Paul been washed away yet?
No, although you'd think we could have. I was last night I was having a I went out to eat with my wife because I did some overtime at work, you know, because I got to have a little money for the upcoming MCBA Fall Con 2018, October 6, 2018, like I said, because it's, you know, October 6, 2018. If you say it three times fast, you either see Beetlejuice or it's true. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the State Minnesota Fair Education Building.
You need to get edumacated.
Yeah, see, I know. Yeah, you do. Because, and if you go to mcbacomiccons.com, everything's there. I know Kelly is busy trying to shove as much comic book goodliness as he can in the 33,000 square feet. And
are they doing anything on the upper floor?
They're in the edumacation building. I don't know if they're taking, that's not the edumacation building.
That
annex thing, but they usually they don't, because I don't think they're going to run panels in that, but they are going to probably use that entire back area that we used to just like hide the chairs and stuff.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens when it hits. So I did a little overtime so I could have a little extra ching to spend. And so when I got home, my wife and I went out to work because we weren't podcasting. And of course, the only thing to drink, since I'm not on any alcohol for the moment, is, diet. And, you know, I have about 3-4 Diet Cokes with the meal. And I get home and like, well, I guess I'm not going to bed anytime soon. So I just stayed up and dorked around. And as I'm sitting here, all of a sudden I hear outside, it's like I just hear boom, boom, boom. I'm like, what the hell is going on at 2 in the morning? Well, apparently some thunderstorms fired up south of us.
Oh, yeah.
They might have rumbled over you. They barely scraped St. Paul.
Yep,
now,
they
this
did.
Is, we had one of those days in Minnesota where the beginning of the day was 80 degrees with 80% humidity and dew points in the 60s. Big-ass storms rumbled through really fast with lots of rain, a couple waves, and by the time I got out of work, it was like 64 with humidity way down. And but that didn't stop thunderstorms from. I was going to say firestorms. See, my subconscious is trying to get me back into comics. But that got the storms fired up, and soon, first thing I do is I just check the local radar, and I'm like, "Holy cow, they are getting slaughtered!" But we really didn't get anything. A few storms wafted over, and I was able to sleep on the couch since I didn't want to wake up my lovely wife, and I just, you know, drifting off to sleep, and you could hear the boom, boom. You know, it's almost like a Doors song, you know, Riders on the Storm, and the rain, and beautiful song, boom! I'm like, okay, I'm awake. That was a nice 20-minute nap. So once I realized it wasn't, like, hitting my house, I was able to calm down a bit. And you know, so I was actually, you know, kind of sauntering off to sleep again. And then all of a sudden I get a beep, beep. So are we going to pod tonight? Oh, son of a bitch. But that's not what I wanted to talk about. What got me thinking.
You wanted to talk about the war.
Sure.
But, wait, no, that's Alice's restaurant.
And it's not Thanksgiving yet, although I'd love a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat. But this, you know, we're watching the news, and of course, another hurricane come rumbling on shore, a big monster storm, and it just devastating South Carolina and North Carolina. And it got me thinking, what do you do to protect your comics? And what would you do to protect them in case of catastrophic disaster? I thought we'd just start out basic and just talk about, you know, things that we should do anyways, and then try to get on to some of the more, I don't know if you can even plan for a catastrophe or type of disaster like that. But it doesn't matter where you are, it could hit you at almost any time. The one preface I want to say before we start is, Corey, you know the Mile High Collection, right?
Yes.
You want to give those who don't know a little synopsis of what that is?
Well, what What happened was there was a artist who back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, I don't know how far back he went. I know it was the 40s and 50s. I don't know if it went into the 60s. But he was a commercial artist, and he actually bought comics to use as reference material. And he kept them in a file. This was in Denver, Colorado, so it's a mile high. There's not much in the way of humidity. It doesn't get overly hot. And he kept them in a place that didn't get overly cold. So when he passed away, his wife went to the local comic shop, which was owned by, who's the guy who owns Mile High, Joe?
Chuck Rosinski.
She went to Chuck Rosinski and said, my husband had all these comics. Can I get anything for him? And he saw them, and I think plots would probably be the best word. He plotsed. And offered her a lowball offer. She accepted it. And it was considered the highest grade collection of comics in history. And that, my friends, is how Chuck built Mile High Comics. Off those high-grade books, he kept taking the profits from selling those and putting them back in the company and buying more comics. By the time in the 70s, when the direct market happened, he was buying stuff and putting it aside. So if you're looking for Strawberry Shortcake, published by Marvel in the 80s, he's still got the ones that he got from either Diamond or Cap City. Because he just bought stuff and put it aside, knowing he was the only one who was going to have it in 20 years.
And the one thing to remember with that, other than when you listen to his story about how he filled his VW bug with his or van with as much as he could, and basically this woman in question was, if whatever you don't pick up, I got a junk. And he bemoans to this day the stuff he had to leave behind because he couldn't fit it. But the bottom line is, the Mile High Comic Collection, and this is newsprint stuff now. This ain't the glossy crap that you kids and your fancy clay-based product. They weren't bagged and boarded. They were just stored in a cool, dark, dry spot. And you hear about collections where people, they run across it and they find them and it's in a remarkable shape. And they're not bagged and boarded. They're just in a cool, dark, dry spot. And those are the big three you got to think of when you're thinking of where to store your comics. And, of course, I think most comic collectors know what's the most basic thing you can do with your comics.
Keep them dry. Keep them temperature controlled. If you look at the comic dealers from the 60s and early 70s, they'll tell you, we didn't have boards, we didn't have bags. It wasn't until the mid-70s when people started putting comics in Ziploc bags to keep them from getting wet, that they started making the first comic bags, which were just, they were just plastic bags. And if you go to older shops that use those, they're the ones that have turned yellow and now stick together. So when you get those comics, you get that sound when you pull them apart.
I didn't buy a thing of Velcro.
And from what we have been able to figure out, those bags have turned really acidic.
Yeah.
So they've actually caused more damage than just not putting them in bags at all. I don't remember exactly when, it might have been the late 70s or early 80s, when Mylars started to be used. Yep. And that became the gold standard. Man, they were expensive bags, too, because they only had the stiff ones. It wasn't until the late 80s that they got the Mylights, which were thinner.
Almost like they don't feel like bags at all because they're really light and thin, and they sound like wax paper.
Yeah.
But again, Mylar, Mylights, it's a DuPont chemical, and it's totally acid-free. It doesn't do that yellowing. It protects everything that's inside it very well. But even for just your basic comics, and like Corey said, bag, board. You know, whether you get the polypropylene or polyethylene, bag, board it. There's even acid-free boards you can get. I know Pat Groover, my old partner, he's meticulously over the years replaced all of his stuff with Mylites and Mylars. If you ever happen to buy something out of his collection and you feel that weird, you know, is this really a comic bag? Well, yeah, it's actually a very expensive piece of Mylite. So, but that is the most basic thing you can do. Bag, board, and even buy a comic box. Whether you're getting to be an old fart like me and using short boxes, store them flat, store them upright. You don't want to store them necessarily like I've been doing, just in a board and box, because the problem is that the spines tend to stick out a little bit and everything in the box curves eventually. And then something will slide, you'll get a fold, you'll get a warp on it. You know, it's just, I've actually found for most of my comics, my new stuff, especially if I haven't read it yet and I don't want to bag and board it, I just put it in a comic box that I have vertical and I just set things on it. And that tends to keep it flat and keep it from curving too much. I found when I was growing up, I got cheap because I didn't have enough money to bag and board everything. I would double board things, or double bag is what they would call it. So I could see which issues I was missing just by going through it. When I went and I did my great purge a year or so ago, I basically deboarded everything because all the books that I blew out, I just blew out without any bag and board, because it takes room and it also adds a lot of weight to the box. Although I got to tell you, a box of unbagged and boarded comics weighs a lot more than just one that's been bagged and boarded. But those are the most basic things you can do. I don't know if you recall, Corey, when one of my freaking about a year or so ago was when I discovered there was a leak over my comic collection.
Yes.
Well, the reason I never revisited that is because I had all my stuff bagged and boarded. So granted, the bags and the boards are a little grungy, but I can replace them. No comics got damaged. And that was really nice. I mean, there were a couple magazines that got damaged that were things that I, you know, like this week's Entertainment Weekly has Captain Marvel on it, you know, and that's a nice cover. I thought I'd hang on to it. But magazines like that just happen to, you know, absorb the water. Even if something does absorb water, it depends if it's direct water or water vapor.
Yeah.
Because one of the infamous things that happened with Crazy Comics that very first week is I had a water main break and everything in the shop got waterlogged. But the thing was, is when you dried it out, the curl that would happen into the book kind of straightened out. I think I only ended up with maybe $300 worth of comics that got destroyed. And those were ones that were more directly in the steam bath. So even if something does get wet, you know, you bag and you board, you keep it in a dry spot, your collection will probably be fine. I don't know, Corey, if you bag and board it, do you have stuff that is Velcroing in your collection?
No, I removed all of those bags years ago. I did not bag my books. I do have the majority of them now are in a storage unit, which is inside, guaranteed not to, you know, get water in it, climate controlled, etc., because I have so many books that putting them all in my lights would cost more than buying a new home.
Well, even bag and boarding costs a lot.
Yeah.
You know, just to do that. But that brings up a good point, too. Where do you want to store your comics? The big three things come to mind: cool, dark, and dry. My buddy Pat used to store his upstairs in his room. However, he had a problem. Unlike Corey's abode, which is reinforced with copious amounts of
omnibuses.
What they found out is his mom and dad were telling him he had to move his collection to the basement because it was actually warping some of the woodwork. And the doors would stick and right below where the collections were being held up. So again, you got weight and you start putting the boxes on top of each other. I always crisscross mine. because I had long boxes. So I'd put three and then three the other way, because you put them, stack them on top of each other, you might have the dreaded comic box spill.
Yep.
You know, and by crisscrossing them, it made it a little tougher to get what you wanted. And of course, nowadays they have the comic boxes that have the drawers in them that apparently hold their own. You can stack those on top of each other quite well.
You can, but again, stand on those boys.
Very expensive if you want to do that. I would definitely recommend, though, and I, God knows what you would do with it, Corey. There are probably certain books in your collection that are either classic or have just become very expensive. New Mutants 98, I'm looking at you. The cream of the quarterback books is now turning fast into a, oh, hell, I don't know. It's heading to the $1,000 price point if it hasn't there. And that's because it's what? Ask the Strode quick.
The first appearance of Deadpool?
Correct. And the question is, do you actually have that?
Yes.
In your collection?
Yes,
so
I do.
That would be one. I would even say, even if you're not going to mylight it, just you want to find it and protect it somehow.
Yeah.
Because that is worth the even the ones around it, the New Mutant books. I haven't looked at them in years, but for a while they were really hot. And of course, they led up to the X-Force, which is less hot because they published bazillions of them. Which is kind of funny because X-Force 2 is the second appearance of Deadpool, and it's not all that. People don't care
because there were probably over a million printed.
So for me, I store my vast accumulation of crap in my basement. It's cool. It's dark. It's not dry, though. So I have a humidifier that's running 24/7 because my home is a 1928-built house, and it's got a basement that if I had catastrophic rains, which we have in the past, it will, you get the water creep and the humidity in. As a matter of fact, now that we're heading in the winters when I start drying things out. How about you, Mr. S? How do you store your vast accumulation?
A lot of the stuff, as I said, is in a storage unit. Most of what I keep here at the house now, I have a special comic room. And I have started boxing up a lot of the trade paperbacks and stuff that I've read. And they will eventually go to the storage unit. The omnibuses and hardcovers, I have built shelving in the walls.
You or your son?
Well, he built some and I built some.
Aha.
And
I just want to give him credit where credit is due. I'm pretty sure he's not listening to the podcast.
No.
You know how this stuff gets around, you know.
But that's how I store most things. I am not a collector. I'm a reader. I probably will not sell my collection. It will probably be sold after I am gone. And one of the things, you know, you said, well, what do you do if there's a catastrophe or a natural disaster? I have a goal.
We haven't gotten you that far yet.
Yeah. But for normal storage, I just put them in comic boxes because more and more because I've gone digital. You know, I don't have a lot of stuff that's, a lot of what I'm buying now is, I'm buying out of quarter bins, you know. Oh, here's a pack that has the entire run of Rex Mundi. Cool, I'll buy that. Or, you know, the True Believers or the Free Comic Book Day stuff.
And for me, a lot of the expensive stuff I've probably blown out or replaced by graphic novels.
Yeah.
If you do still have things, I recommend, like you said, to have a storage unit, cool, dark, dry. Preferably not on the first floor if you have a choice.
Yep.
One of the things that got me when I dumped everything that I was keeping from Hot Comics into a storage unit to be eBayed later, one of them, you know, ball-busting storms came through and blew water in past the so-called garage door seal, you know, on the bottom of the door of the storage unit. And, of course, I had things on the ground, and it hit the cardboard boxes, which sucked things up as a sponge. It damaged stuff that I probably could have got more money. Nothing comic related, but, you know, you were talking toys and some statue boxes and things like that. If you do have collector grade comics and you want to keep them safe, I'd get a safe deposit box. We always talk about how our good buddy Nick had his crazy collection, safe in a refrigerated, or I should say climate controlled storage unit. And we're talking things that would probably, you and I could probably retire on if we found. But it doesn't, you know, if you only have one or two key books, put them in a safe deposit box, or go buy yourself a fireproof and waterproof storage unit that, you know, you get them at an office supply or Target or wherever. Something that, you know, spend a little bit more money for the waterproof because, you know, fireproof's cheap, easy to find, but the waterproof isn't. And what's the number one? Corey, just tell me as I'm doing a very bad Tom Schneider. How the hell do firefighters put out fire?
Water.
Exactly. So just think ahead where I said I've got my comics stored. And if I have a fire, I don't think that'll be the next freaking and geeking, other than the fact I'll be off the line for a while because I won't have a computer probably. Be like, oh, Corey, I got absolutely fucking nothing. Oh, the fire didn't destroy it. It was just the water because it goes right down to the basement. Which brings up insurance. Should you insure your collection?
That gets messy.
It does.
Because insurance agents won't want to do it.
Nope, they do not like insuring collectibles. And I don't know the name of the gentleman, but even here in the Twin Cities, there was a guy who got a lot of press because he was always talking about this collection I got and that collection I got. And the insurance guys all started to know his name because he would always say, oh, I just had a mint collection of Action Comics 1 through 100, and it got destroyed in this where I was needing. I got to have it covered by insurance. And eventually it got so bad, to listen to the story, I suppose I should say allegedly, but where the insurance companies just wrote the guy a check and say, we're not insuring you anymore. Because I talked to my insurance guy, and again, this is information that's decade old or so. I'm not talking about insuring my shop. That's something different. Matter of fact, when the aforementioned Crazy Comics water sale happened, where my shop was suddenly a steam bath for 48 hours, they basically told me to add everything up, and whatever the cost was, they'd write a check for me. What they had me do is say, okay, spend a month trying to sell it as much as you can, and whatever ends up not being sold will cover. In this case, it got everything dried out. I sold out a lot of stuff, and it actually worked out okay. My deductible was higher than $300, so I said, withdraw the claim, not a big deal. So, again, a store is different, but for doing it in your house, first of all, check with your insurance company and see if they would even do it. They probably won't. However, if you have extraordinary things in your collection, I don't know, let's just say you do have a run of Action Comics 1 through 100, you may be able to get a writer, to cover it. This is the same type of thing that if somebody has lots of jewelry or lots of gold or a Picasso in their home, they have insurance to cover just that. There's other hoops you'd probably have to go through. You'd probably have to get your collection professionally, how would you say? Oh, I can't think of it.
Appraised,
thank you. Yeah, because, and I've actually, when I had Hot Comics St. Paul, I actually did that for a couple guys. They showed what they had in the collection, and I sat down. And, you know, I just billed them, I think, a couple $100 because it took me a couple hours. And I would just go and say, okay, the guide mint shape is this. I said, this is what it would cost him to replace it through me. Not what I would buy it for, but, you know, again, say, Corey, you lost your beloved copy of New Mutants 98 and you wanted it for some reason. Well, you ain't getting it for 60 cents.
Yeah.
I tell you that. And so that's what the big thing is, the replacement value.
What about my giant-sized man thing?
Sorry, there's some things that just can't be insured. So don't hold it so tightly. Good man, Lord, man. Use gloves. Get that gob off it. Okay, now that we've insured our explicit rating. But that's how you would probably do it if you were gung-ho to get it insured. Homeowners will not cover it. It's probably not a bad idea to – actually, this is not a bad idea to do to your house regardless. But walk through your house every so often and just take pictures of everything.
Yeah.
Because if you ever did lose everything, it would be so much easier to insure it. When Chris and I got down and we actually bought our house – and I got to tell you, we had insurance when we had apartments and things like that, because apartment insurance, you know, there's every so often you hear of an apartment burning down. Well, we didn't have insurance on it. You could have. It was cheap. At the time we did it, and we're talking early 90s, it was like a couple $100. Anything in the apartment was covered, because they didn't have to cover appliances, because that's the apartment's problem. They didn't have to cover carpet. They just covered our belongings. We needed a list of our belongings, so I borrowed a buddy's camcorder, gives you an idea how old I am, and we just ran through and took pictures of it. Nowadays you could probably do it with your phone, or if you got an iPad or whatever. And it's a good idea to do it. When Chris and I finally did get a home and we got homeowners insurance, they're like, well, how much do you want to cover? And we said, well, here's a list of everything we have. And he was amazed that we had a list. It's because we went through and we said, okay, well, in this room we got a VCR, we got a stereo, and we're talking, you know, the old-fashioned, what do they used to call them? Component system stereos with speakers the size of mini pickup trucks, you know. And oh man, am I old? And that's when I found out, well, I have this in comics. He goes, well, what are the comics? I said, well, in a conservative estimate, I would say you could probably say $1 a piece, because some are worth, you know, hundreds of dollars. Others are probably worth 25 cents. But, you know, I had back then maybe 20 boxes. And that's where he said, well, we won't cover that because of whatever. But again, there are ways to do it. When the Comic Buyer's Guide was published, there was always a guy who would insure collectibles. He was a collectible person himself. He had an insurance company, or he sold insurance. I don't know if it was his company, but he actually would insure things nationwide. Google it. There may be somebody out there that does that. But be that as it may, what would you do now? Let's get to the catastrophic disasters. The only thing in the Midwest I think we'd worry about would be possibly a flood, a tornado. Could be, you know, Corey's mobile park is underneath, it's actually down a hill. We've seen landslides from places that look like they're solid, and suddenly something breaks under it, and it's like, hey, we just had a landslide. Corey could come home and find out the Strode compound is now the Strode Memorial mud pile. We were watching the hurricane. There could be earthquakes. California just, I don't know, because it dropped off the news cycle, but they're either finishing up or they're having catastrophic fires. I don't know if there's anything you could do to protect yourself from that.
What you do is run. Now, flooding, yeah, you can get a few days' notice.
Yeah.
I know that...
if you had a hurricane coming, and, you know, I'm thinking my house, which is, we're not in Hurricane Alley by any means, I could see putting everything up onto the second floor.
Yeah.
And that would be a hell of a backbreaking effort, but I could do it. And believe me, there's stuff down there I probably don't give a damn about. I would just let it go. I could see myself running through and maybe grabbing the 2-3 long boxes of stuff. Actually, they're short boxes now, that actually mean something to me, or that have that I know have a value on it. You know, like my Supergirl original art, or my box of books that actually have a value to it. And some of them are sentimental. My first Spider-Man I've talked about. I've got the Showcase number 1 that I bought from Jerome Wanker's collection. That actually brings up a kind of, before we get back to disaster, it actually brings up a better safety tip. Corey, what's the number one thing you have in your trunk of your car?
I actually have one of those, it's a kit that has jumper cables and a charger and a pump and all sorts of stuff in case your car breaks down. The other thing I have that my mother made me buy years ago, and I've always kept, is a coffee can with candles, matches, and like granola bars and stuff that you change out every bit in case you get stuck in your car in the cold.
Yeah, that's I told that story when I was leaving Wolf Point, Montana, going down to Billings. You know, I had blankets, I had clothing, I had food, I had water, I had toilet paper, and they're like, toilet paper? I said, oh yeah, trust me, if you're in the middle of the nowhere and you need to go, that's a good idea. And I've also would take that one step further. Corey, you always have a to-go bag.
Yes.
You know, so if something happens, and in this case it did when you had to go get your gallbladder out, you had stuff with you. I always try to get my family to think, okay, in our case, another catastrophe that could happen anywhere. I mean, look what happened in those homes up in Massachusetts where the gas line just blew up. Was it 70 homes just blew up?
Yeah.
You got 1 minute to get the hell out of here. And for us in here, it could be, for you, it could be the pickle factory having a gigantic brine accident. Trying to be a little silly, but in all seriousness, we got chemical factories and oil trains running through town constantly. You got 1 minute to get the hell out of here. What would you grab other than, you know, loved ones? Could be photo albums. We have a fireproof box with all of our stuff in it, cash, passports, any important papers like we would need. We have a place that we'll meet and hopefully we'll go. But think in terms of that way. What would you have? You got 1 minute to get the hell out of here, be it from fire, be it whatever.
See, that's why I have the go bag.
Yeah. And leave it in the car. Leave it where it's ready to go.
For right you, by the door.
You have it in the car. Yep. And that's actually, you know, change of clothes, change of pants, whatever, shoes, wallet, phone, quick charger, whatever you can you constantly think of. You go to FEMA's page and they will give you everything you need to make a readiness kit. Think in terms of, you know, for me, again, I have the one box. If I had time, I might grab it. We've got a huge tub with all of our photos in it. I mean, I've got two hard drives full of photos, and I've got that. If there's time, I would muscle those into the car. But everything else, let it go. Sayonara, baby. I'll replace it with the insurance money if I can. Here we have tornadoes. Again, tornadoes come and you run for shelter. Do you have a shelter in your area?
Yes, we do.
So find out where it is, figure out how to get there as fast as human possible. And for me, because I've got a house, I just go into the basement. And it's not that you go into the basement, you got to get under something because tornadoes will lift up a house and drop it on you. And that is a way, got a plan to have somewhere to do it. You know, in Vogue are tornado houses where it's reinforced concrete. You see that more common in like Tornado Alley where they don't have basements or mobile homes where they don't have a shelter you can go to. Notice none of this
here
stuff
in Minnesota, by law, there has to be a shelter.
And notice nothing. Everything we're talking about has nothing to do with comic books. So, again, if you got a slow-moving thing coming at you like a hurricane, hopefully you can store up as much as you can to get it out. But for the most part, keep it high, keep it dry. And I don't know how any of the other stuff you could protect it, you know, in a case of a fire or an earthquake. Just get out alive. Anything you get, you could probably replace.
One thing I want to bring up, though, we're talking about supplies and how to store comics and all that. Joe, you've had a few books slabbed. I have not sent any to be slabbed yet, but I'm actually thinking of a couple getting slabbed. One of them is the New Mutants 98. And I also know some people who they buy slabbed books of, you know, older comics that aren't in great shape, and they break those slabs open so they can read them.
Yeah.
But I would say if you have a collection of any kind, once your comic gets to be worth over $400 to $500, get it slabbed. The slabs actually are impervious to weather and bugs and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And to me, that's almost more important than getting it graded. It's going to be protected no matter what.
You actually said something interesting, because that's something that I didn't write down and I had forgotten about. Vermin.
Yeah.
You know, I would have vermin in my basement if not for the fact that everything in the basement is up off the ground. I go down and I do go try to go through everything at least once a year, because what I found in a few things as I was slowly going through and replacing all my Velcro bags, which I love to call them, with real bags, is that sometimes them vermin, they will get inside the actual bag.
Yeah.
And then they end up dying. And so, you know, they don't get a chance to eat the comics or do anything destructive. But, you know, it's kind of gross, especially if you're going to sell something. See how well protected this Golden Age Superman number one is? Even the bug inside it died.
Well, and the other thing to remember, what did they call the old cheap comics at Schindler's?
I don't even remember that.
Cheese.
Yeah.
And the reason they called them cheese is because if they didn't check on that stuff, mice would burrow in and eat them.
And that's something I've bitched about in my various freakings, is my wife loves to put things in the garage, and I tell her, you can't do that. During the middle of the winter, they will just eat the paper product. And I had a collection of Peanuts books from the 70s that my grandmother would buy me. I found them. Every one of them had urine stains. They'd been eaten, and I could not. Even my mentality of collecting stuff could not keep my way to keeping them. I just tossed them, and I just told her, don't do it. You can't put things where vermin are. You can't put them in outside storage area. I mean, is your storage unit, is it something your compound gives you, or are you talking you went to like a U-Haul place?
I went to a place that's in Chanhassen, so there's no rivers anywhere around. I got a second floor, et cetera, et cetera.
Good. The other thing to do, also, like I said, if you do bag and board, that'll keep the vermin from wanting to get in there. And I mean, I've had the worst is the water bugs, because they like to go after the glue binding. And that brings up a good point, too. We've been talking comic books. How do you protect your graphic novels?
I
got one word for you. Don't bother.
Yeah.
Most of them are replaceable.
Well,
maybe not the omnibuses, but
shelving.
Yeah.
Put them on a shelf, man.
Even sometimes that won't help. Metal shelving, I guess, will keep mice from climbing up it. Wood shelving won't, but you also got bugs that love to eat wood. So, you know, we're not in a termite zone, but we got carpenter ants. And one of my favorite videos, and I haven't seen it surface in a while, where some guy found his whole collection out in a shed, opened it up, and the place was just basically, the whole thing was overrun with ants. And I think the collection was 50-50 bagged and boarded. Well, the unboarded stuff, I don't think could survive. The bag and board, the ants just build their home around them. You know, we had vinyl siding from when we, one of the things we did when I sold Hot Comics is we redid the house and the windows and the roof. And the vinyl siding was just left in the front yard under the pine tree. And finally, about 6 months later, when it became apparent they weren't coming back to get it, we went and we fished it out, and we discovered that it was weird. It was like a microcosm. There were like six layers. Every layer was a different set of animals. Layer one was like water bugs and things like that that you'd see. There were centipedes and things. The next one was a bunch of earthworms. After that, you peel the next layer, it was an ant nest complete with eggs and everything. The next one, two mice came running out and disappeared. So, I mean, nature will adapt. If you leave something there long enough, it's just going to overtake it. So that's why once a year I try to go down and at least move things around and just check and see what I got, or just discover what I'm missing. So like when a con comes around or one of the dealer shows, I can pick it up. So no, I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I think we pretty much covered the basics. There's not really much else to do. Cool, dark, and dry are really the big things.
You know who does take care of your stuff, Joe?
Well, definitely not my wife. I mean, she throws in a garage and my seat and a pee all over. And when the kids come in, they don't care. They got their big greasy mitts. They open their black covers and then they read them. And they say, "Who reads comics anymore? You don't read the comics." You got to sit and put them in a bag. They go up in price. And just, I'm tired of that. I swear, every time I turn around and read a graphic novel, one of the pages is ripped or there's an ink stain or something. I just have the worst luck when it comes to collectibles. Well, I don't even know why I'm doing this shit. It just bothered the hell out of me. I'm sorry, what was the question?
You know who doesn't? Who does take care of your stuff? These guys, our sponsors. That's right, here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network, we have ads, and our first sponsor is me. That's right, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. I have my first book out with Dangerous Dan Moore. It's the first 100 strips of our online web strip, Worldwide News, the story of the lowest-rated cable news network. And you can get yourself a copy with commentary, with all sorts of extras, with signatures and everything. Just email Dan over at lordshadowflame@gmail.com. Our top sponsor, who's been with us since day one, is DreamHost. DreamHost.com. You need yourself a website, and DreamHost.com is the number one web host in the whole known universe. Just head over to DreamHost.com, put in the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, get $20 off your first year. How can you beat that? Our other sponsor is Graze, G-R-A-Z-E.com. Healthy snacks for a healthy lifestyle. Just head over to Graze, put in the code CORYS3R5P. Your first and fifth box are free. You could get them weekly. You could get them bi-weekly. You could get them monthly. You just order a whole bunch of them. It's great stuff to keep you away from the vending machine at work. Now, if you would like to leave a comment for any of the podcasts that we do, we'd love those. Go ahead and email us at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, or you can call 952-856-0519. Operators are standing by. Okay, it's just a place that will record your calls, but we'll play them on the air. We'll answer your questions. We love getting feedback. Tell us what you think. Ask a question. Suggest a topic. Be a guest. Send us your stuff. solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. If you would like to advertise on any of the Solitaire Rose radio shows, you can. Just email us at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, subject advertising. Thanks.
Amazing.
And you know that we do other podcasts here at the Solitaire Rose Network.
I have had rumors to that.
Not only that, my friend Tommy has a podcast. I'll let him tell you about it.
How do you do? We're about to unfold the story of Frankenstein.
This is Tom Lang.
And this is Bill Evenson.
And we're the hosts of a new podcast called Frankenstein Minute.
That's right. We've taken the classic Universal Studios Frankenstein films and broken them down minute by minute.
And each episode, we're going to dissect 1 minute of Frankenstein.
We'll talk about Colin Clive, who played Henry Frankenstein.
Dwight Fry, his hunchbacked assistant.
Mae Clark, Henry's fiancée.
And of course, don't forget that monster played by the enigmatic question mark.
We'll also talk about the director James Whale and the fascinating flourishes he brought to the picture.
And Mrs. Percy B. Shelley, Mary, of course, the author of the original novel on which the film was based. And the difference between the novel and the film.
This really is a classic film, the one that many point to as the one that started it all.
Dracula?
Sure.
But, you know, seriously, 1 minute a week? How long is Frankenstein?
Frankenstein is 71 minutes.
Are you sure we can keep this going for 71 weeks?
Oh, sure, no problem. I mean, this is Frankenstein we're talking about, not Dracula.
Good point.
We'll discuss characters' motivations and talk about the great performances and John Bowles.
Don't forget Kenneth Strickfaden and his amazing electrical devices.
We'll even reveal which of the lead actors grew up in sleepy little Chaska, Minnesota.
Frankenstein Minute premieres on August 31st, 2018.
Where?
You know, the usual places, iTunes, Google Play, YouTube.
And check us out on frankensteinminute.com and Facebook and Twitter, if that's still a thing.
Is Twitter still alive?
Oh, it's alive.
It's alive!
It's alive!
And then we do other podcasts here at the network. I'm going to tell you about those. The Solitaire Rose Radio Network has all sorts of podcasts. We've got Scrabbling Across the West with Dave Cafell and his lovely bride, Stephanie. They travel across the country playing musical gigs, and at night they sit down to play Scrabble and talk about their day at scrabbling.solitairerose.com. There's Novelcast over at novels.solitairerose.com, where I take the novels that I've written and turn them into audio podcasts. Currently, we are doing a novel called Do the Job, which is a murder mystery set in the world of 1980s professional wrestling. Then over at badadvice.solitairerose.com, me, Corey Strode, and Wolfie B. Bad, along with Dan Moore, give bad advice to people who send in questions. That's bad advice over at badadvice.solitairerose.com. The Solitaire Rose Radio Network is growing. Be there! You think NBC will get mad I used that?
And then, Joe, coming soon is another podcast from the Solitaire Rose Network.
I don't see how you could do it. What's it about?
Well, I can't tell you what it's about yet.
Ooh, you secretive son of a...
But I can tell you it's for everyone to listen to.
Cool.
And now that we've gotten all my plugs out of the way, it's time for Joe's plugs. However, we don't say they're plugs. We don't say he's ruthlessly shilling.
It is a condition of podcasting.
We just say, Joe...
In my contract.
What's going on the eBays?
Well, things are slowly moving forward. I was talking, you know, how things seem to have come to a crawl, but it's just a matter of time before people start realizing, hey... I'm in school. I need to read something. So things are slowly picking up. Also, a small apology. It took me a bit of time to get the sale going that I mentioned last time. So right now there's a number of things that are half price, and it'll be going through October 3rd, because then it'll go back to regular price, and by that time I'll go to the Fall Con, and then I'll come back and put some other things on. Not everything's on sale, but of course, you as dear listeners, if you see something you're interested in, just send me a quick note, like somebody did who was listening to us in Germany, wanted to know, would you be willing to do this, this, and this? I said, sure, for you, because you listen to our show.
Another person from Germany who's a fan.
I know. Thank you. Let's see. Some of the stuff that sold recently, and... Corey, if you remember what they are, fill in the folks. And I got a stack of dimes here. Manhunter, the special edition. Archie Goodwin and Walter Simonson.
Which actually had a silent story that had never been printed before.
I know. It was a tough one. I didn't know if I wanted to sell it, but I did. Another one of the Shazam ones, Shazam number 30, which is... from 1977, actually had the first Minuteman in it. And I think that was the first modern-day appearance of him. I don't know if that was a Golden Age guy who just suddenly appeared. I ended up selling Dark Crossing, which was a two-comic set that did a crossover with Witchblade, Tomb Raider, and The Darkness. That was out of 2000 from Image. Corey, guess how much this incredible set went for?
I don't know, $1.50?
Close, $1.98. Plus shipping. Not everything I sell is big money. And again, if I have something I want to sell, I'm going to put it as cheapest price as possible. So a couple podcasts ago, I went on and on about the DuckTales figure. And Donald Duck seems to be the one to look for. Because not only is it a main character, but it's been a while since there's actually been a Donald Duck figure. Prices have slowly dropped, and the one I found, I was trying to decide if I was going to keep it, and I decided I was just going to keep the Uncle Scrooge figure. And so I sold it. And some of the other things that sold, I don't know if I've mentioned, so I might be going back too far, but I had a copy of Best from Boy's Life comics from 1958, published by, I think it's Gilberton, same person who did Classic Illustrated, and this basically just... took stuff out of the Boys Life magazine. And then I had a Gwen Spider-Gwen number one, the Dynamic Forces exclusive cover that I sold a DC.
You sold it and didn't tell me?
It's on the eBays. You could have looked.
Is it still there?
Nope, it's sold.
How dare you?
And then there was the Charlie's Angels. No, of course, mine was cheap. So, you know, the one you could buy is going to be more expensive. They only did 3,000 of them, so check it out. It's actually a really cool cover. And Charlie's Angels number two, one of the licensed products out of Dynamite, I'm sorry. And that was the black and white variant cover. I happened to find one, and I figured, read it, and I didn't think much of the series, so that's why I never reviewed it. But, and for you, the listener, you want to check out what's at half price? You want to check out some of the other stuff? Because I'll be putting stuff on almost, I'm either repricing or adding new stuff daily. K-R-A-Y-Z, look it up on the eBays. Follow the links that Corey puts on the Solitaire Rose Network. And if you see something you're interested in, let me know.
Well, and now that Joe's screwed me over.
Big time. Big time.
And sorry, I'm just going to stew here for a minute. Okay. Freaking and geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
Nothing. What are you freaking on? I got nothing to freak on. Things are going pretty good.
This weekend, here in the Minneapolis area, it was 90-some degrees during the
evening.
My weekend off, and it's, oh, God, it's so hot. Anytime it gets above 85, I'm irritated. But 90 in September always makes me just angry. And then,
you wouldn't like Strode when he's angry.
And then, you know, we got a rainstorm that came through. Two of the trees near my house, all their leaves are already gone. The rain just, yeah, it's all gone. It's all gone.
All gone. Bye-bye.
So, and then today at work, our phone system went down.
Uh-oh.
And then we started getting calls for clients that we weren't on. So people would call, and I would try to look them up, and they wouldn't be in the system, and I would do everything I could, and then I would ask them, you know, what I could help them with, and they would ask questions that I knew nothing about because it had nothing to do with the stuff that we do. And sadly, I was not allowed to make up answers. Because, boy, would I love to do that. Yeah, I'm calling because I haven't got my pension check, and I'm wondering what happened. Oh, we've got some bad news for you. We found out that your spouse that you're getting your pension from had another family that had a prior claim on the pension, so you won't be getting any more checks.
No checks for you.
Or can I take out the money from my 401k for, you know, blah, blah, blah? Sorry, you can't take out the money for your 401k until you're 59 years old unless you're going to gamble with it.
Now we're talking.
But no, I didn't do any of that either. So just a very annoying day at work where the whole time, and we couldn't transfer calls because, you know, the phone system's all messed up. So they would call in.
But they can't call out.
We couldn't call out either.
You can't call in. You can't call out.
So people would call and they would have, you know, they would dial the right number, but it would come to us, and we wouldn't know where to transfer them, and we couldn't transfer. And they would say, well, the number I called is this. Can you transfer me? No, sorry, our system's not allowing us to do that. So after a couple hours of that, I was ready to come home. Comic-wise, nothing is really annoying me, which is weird. Normally, by this time of the month, there's something annoying. But sales figures came out, and comic sales are continuing to climb up from when they were down a while back. So the Marvel, whatever they're calling this initiative, seems to be working. And
you mean Comicsgate was wrong?
We don't mention them here.
Okay.
I don't want Nathan Van Scriber calling me at 3 in the morning saying, you have to appear on my podcast! Why aren't you answering me? As he does.
You first.
As he has done. Away. To other people.
Yeah, I was reading about that. There was actually an article.
Yes, in the Washington Post.
And the comments, these guys are just tripping over themselves. Oh, they're wrong. It's a hack job, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, I keep protesting people.
Yeah, except everybody knows it's true. There was also a, I guess I'm going to go into geeking. I'll let you do your geeking and then I'll do mine. But on that, I like the fact that the Washington Post did that article, basically, you know, lifting up the rock, shining the light and showing all the bugs. But they also did an article last week, what can be done about Star Wars' toxic fandom? About how the Star Wars fans, even going back to the prequel trilogy, are just terrible to the actors. To where I think the little kid who played Anakin in Phantom Menace, he won't act anymore. He's got PTSD from how people treated him because they didn't like the prequels. So I like the fact that, you know, it's getting some notice and they're saying, hey, assholes, quit it. Even the Joe Quesada spent the weekend basically pointing out, hey, you know, you guys say we're not publishing any superhero books. Here are the 52 superhero books we published this month. So we'll see what happens. But Joe, what are you geeking on?
You know how usually I will sit and when I have a day where I'm working what I call the OSARP room, that's where we use the x-rays to peek into a piece of check luggage and see if it's got a bomb in it or not. Well, usually I just set the music and I sit back. Well, last week I didn't. I mean, I had a couple of music pieces I listened to, but then I ended up just flipping through the YouTubes, just one after the other. I went and I was looking at Whose Line Is It Anyways compilations, not only like the first season where, is it Alicia Tyler, I think her name is?
Yeah.
That first season where she was on, she just laughed nonstop. I mean, she's more nuanced now because she actually, I think, is used to the guys, but I don't think she'd ever been exposed to this type of improv entertainment because she was just nonstop laughing, and I was nonstop laughing. It was just infectious, and it's kind of a mini geek or mini freak now because it's over. I mean, the season replacement's done. I mean, granted, Arrow's back on CW, but I don't really watch that stuff that much. I was enjoying that. But I would go from that to lines that Colin Mockery would say, oh my God, the guy's insanely genius with some of the stuff. Just the beginning things, like when they do the newscaster for all four of them, where three of them are doing wacky things and he just opens up the newscasts. Then I go to Ryan Stile and I go to Outtakes. I do one where everybody's picking on Drew. From there, I found myself looking at Craig Ferguson stuff from his old show and about how all the women would just shamelessly flirt with him. Not only, it was funny because of the way he worked before and after he was married. There was even some other guy. What was the name of the robotic skeleton that Craig had?
I don't remember.
Is it Steve? I don't remember. But there was a thing where the guest was, I don't understand this. How can this robotic skeleton be gay and a skeleton without missing a beat? Oh, why don't you come over here and I'll show you. Oh my God. Everybody's looking at me like, what's wrong? You've been laughing all day long. From there, I discovered, and I say discovered because I discovered it, and I'm sure she has been going fine, a ventriloquist called Nina Conti, C-O-N-T-I. Just amazingly funny. You've got the name. I don't want to really give away the act because she does almost very similar acts in all the stuff that was on the YouTubes. Go for the one that had strong language. Just hilarious and fun to watch. So I spent almost 10 hours just watching videos. And one of the reasons why I could do that is because it was actually a very slow day. We're in kind of a slow season. You know, the holidays haven't started. We in Minnesota have something called MEA, which is Minnesota Educational Association, where the teachers get off and go hang at Valley Fair for they go to seminars. Yes, that's it. So the kids get 4 days off, and locally, a lot of parents take that for a late vacation. I mention that because every so often I'll talk to other airports and they're like, oh man, we're really busy. Why? We're not doing anything. It's like, well, we got this MEA. A lot of people going out. I'm kind of proud of the fact that we were talking about the hurricanes. About 20, 25 officers went out in the search force capacity to help with hurricane relief efforts. What they do is they will go and man the airports so that the people who live in that area can deal with their family and their houses and whatever. It's something I used to do. I would have done if I was still on the road. I've heard really wacky stories about stuff. Just like they're in this path of the hurricane. They got to move. Hurricane went north, so they went back. Oh, it's coming back at us. We left the airport again. And then they got to the airport, and there was no power, so they couldn't do anything at the airport. But they had a big stack of water, so they started handing out the water. And then FEMA showed up, and they're like, oh, well, as long as you're doing it, we'll go do this. And just amazing stuff. As part of that, I did overtime. I don't really do overtime, partially because of my hip, but partially because I don't really want to. I'd rather just sit at home and download. I work on the eBays. But I felt like, since these guys went out to help people, I could help the guys at the airport. Because now, of course, we're short. I mean, it helps that it's a slow time of the year, but, it's still, there's a job to get done. So I picked up a little overtime. And then, of course, as I'm looking at the calendar, mini freak again, because the money I will get that I thought I was going to spend at the MCBA FallCon, Comic-Con 2018 at October 6th at the Minnesota State Edumacation Building. Corey, I need to get edumacated because I'm not going to get that money until after the con.
No.
I mentioned the Captain Marvel trailer. I thought it was a lot of fun. It's a teaser trailer. It's not really given away a lot, other than the fact some of the things we probably figured out beforehand. Like Nick Fury's in it. Oh, I'm shocked. And I'm looking forward to it. Of course, I was looking forward to it as soon as he pressed the button at the end of Infinity War. Let's see. I'm going to check my list here. That's pretty much it for geeking. I mean, I didn't mention anything on a hip because the hip's actually feeling pretty good. A couple twinges here and there. I don't know if the cortisone's wearing out or just I'm tuckered out from working extra shifts. So we'll knock on fake wood. And I guess I just won't be bringing any omnibuses to work anymore. Corey, what are you geeking on?
Got my box, and it was nothing but omnibuses.
Woohoo! See, I won't get my box for 2 weeks. So.
I have the Bronze Age Batman Brave and the Bold Omnibus Volume 2, which reprints Brave and the Bold issues. Let's see here. 110 through 156. So that's a whole bunch of Bronze Age Batman that I have never read. Of course, a lot of it's by Bob Haney, so they literally have nothing to do with each other. The Earth X Alpha came in. So that's probably what I'm going to be wallowing in this weekend. And also the Heroes Reborn Thor, which I did not read when it came out. I don't know why I didn't pick it up. Maybe at the time I was like, ugh. Thor.
Well, it didn't come out
with the other ones.
With the others. It came out later.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing from the Thor movie where there was the middle of the desert was Thor's hammer and Doom showed up, I thought that I could lift it because Thor and Doom disappeared when they were all coming back from the heroes. What the heck did Image call their thing?
Heroes Reborn and Heroes Return. And
yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Lots of heroes. So. Heroes doing stuff. So there's that. The DC Universe launched over the weekend, and I went ahead and got it.
Good man. I will probably get it when I'm sitting on my ass, not doing anything, recovering from my hip.
Movie-wise, there's not a lot there. They're the Superman movies. They do have most of the DC animated. Not just the DC animated that they put out as DVDs, but also Super Friends. The entire run. All of them.
Man.
I want to see Wendy and Marvin.
I don't want to see it. I was very disappointed with it when I was growing up.
I was a kid, and I liked Wendy and Marvin.
I did hear they had Justice League.
They've got pretty much all of the animated stuff, including Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series, Brave and the Bold, which I did not see but want to. Their comic selection is exactly what I thought it would be, limited and spotty. So for Crisis on Infinite Earths, there's issues 2, 3, and 4.
That's some good thinking. That's a first story part of the three-act play, but...
Well, and, you know, you don't need the first issue.
Who needs that? That's what the Absolute is for.
But I hope they get better. I do know that there are some books that will not be on there because of the royalty agreements. And we've talked about that in the past. So, but it's a good start. You can actually try to read your comics on the Roku. And looking at it page by page, it's just the print is too small. But panel by panel, boy, it doesn't do any good for stuff after, you know, like 82, 83, because they were doing jagged panels and stuff. But, you know, the older stuff where, you know, the panels were very clearly defined, that actually reads pretty well, you know, on your Roku, you know, panel by panel. And you can actually set it to where it will go automatically so you don't have to keep clicking. It'll just stick, that panel will stay there for a bit of time and then the next one will show. But it's only $75 for a year, which is actually less than the Marvel Unlimited. I will be interested to see what they do with the comic side of it. And with the new series, Titans is starting soon. I saw some of the stuff for the Doom Patrol. Robot Man looks incredibly cool. New series of BoJack Horseman is on Netflix, which is probably their best series. Joe, have you seen the BoJack Horseman?
I am aware of it because my daughters watch it. Matter of fact, Dana was over here today watching it, so I kind of stayed out of the living room because I don't want to have it spoiled while I'm recuperating.
It's set in a world where anthropomorphic animals are just as normal as people, and BoJack Horseman was a TV star in the 90s, had a sitcom, and it's 20 years later, and he's kind of a drunk mess. And it may be the best depiction of depression and mental illness in fiction that I've seen in forever. It really captures depression and all of that in a way that's not sad. You know, it's a sitcom. There are silly things that happen, but they are very realistic about the mental illness that BoJack is dealing with and how he reacts to things. And when you first start watching it, you just think, oh, he's just a doofy loser. But as the show goes on, you start to realize... And as they fill in his backstory and you find out more about his family, you really see where his mental health problems come from. And I watched the first few episodes, really liked it, going to watch the rest.
Well, you give that such a big in-depth thing, but you won't finish Disenchanted.
Yeah, because Disenchanted, I'm watching one episode a week.
Oh, I
because I think binging it was why I didn't like it.
No, it's much. I disagree. I would say it was better just doing it 5.5, especially because when you get to the final episodes, they kind of draw you in and push you forward.
Yeah.
And like I said, don't forget the there is an after credit scene, which unfortunately with my devices I wasn't aware of because mine had a tendency to here's the next episode, forget the credits.
Well, Netflix always does that.
Yeah, annoying.
I did watch the episode where she tries to be a diplomat this week. And it was okay. You know, it wasn't great, but I did, you know, I'm still watching it. I didn't go, ugh.
I gotta go watch the first episode because I want to see if I can figure out what Groening is teasing us about. Although we probably won't know it until you know, the final 10 come out.
And the final thing I am geeking on is a trade paperback by Greg Rucka, came out through Image, called The Old Guard.
Rucka. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
It's a miniseries that Image did about a year ago, I think. And what it is, it's five immortals who have been, they're basically, their setup's kind of like the A-Team, where they get involved in missions, you know, military-style missions. They get hired by different groups. Well, they have been discovered. And it deals with the fact of what it's like when the outside world, well, not the whole outside world, but part of the outside world discovers that, hey, there are people who have lived for hundreds and hundreds of years and are practically immortal. It's a really great action story. And one of the things I love about Greg Rucka is he knows story structure, he knows how to tell a story, he knows how to make interesting characters, he can do great action sequences, but it's just, you know, it was five issues and one trade paperback, and it felt like a novel. It felt like I had read a complete, full novel, and he packs more story into that than most people do in 12 issues. So it's The Old Guard by Greg Rucka, and he keeps saying he's going to do another miniseries of it, so we'll see when that comes out. Believe it or not, kids.
Whoa, there a second, Corey. I have a dilemma here.
Oh, no. You're on the horns of a dilemma.
We normally do not ask our vast accumulation of listeners to do anything. I mean, other than, you know, call us back, send us $20 bills, you know, things like that.
Visit the sponsors.
Yep. Okay, so we do. Well, here's what I'm going to ask you one. We have had my nephew, Zach Anderson, he's actually talked on the show back when we were doing the live stuff at the, well, actually, I think the one he was at, we recorded at one of the cons. He was a brony guy, and we actually debuted some of the music he's working on. Well, his girlfriend is working in this contest called Create a Greeting Card. It's through a website, and I'm trying to find it, but I put the link up on the Crazy Comics and Story podcast, and what they're doing is they're voting for a $10,000 scholarship entry.
Ooh.
She's gone through two rounds, and the final round ends November 30th. So as this podcast drops, you'll be able to go to through the link that I posted on the site and daily vote for her choice. And to make it easy, since, you know, it's all blind voting, I actually put her greeting card on there. And so what I'm asking my fans, well, of the show, that is, not just my fans, Corey's too, you know, stop
I don't
by
have any fans.
And give her a vote. She's at 578 votes, and the winner is upwards of 845. So I'm hoping if enough of you take pity on her, we can vault her into round four, which starts October 1st. But again, round three is only through the 30th, and she's made it so far. You know, right now she's in fourth place. So I'd like to, it'd be fun to prop her up to number one to see if she could do it. And it would be kind of neat if she could actually win. And the best part, only you and I and our listeners would know who did it. So again, that's a dilemma. Corey, should we ask him to do it, or should we just say no?
Yeah, we can ask.
Okay, we'll do that. Yeah, go ahead and do it. Like I said, Crazy Comics and Stories podcast is where I put it. So, and not only that, you can go there and like our page and everything. We post mostly when we put the new links up, so you can get a chance to download, be the first people to download, because that's where Corey likes to put up the Sunday sneak peek of the episodes. And you can see what Wolfie looks like passed out after drinking light beer and having a potato ole or whatever it is.
Well, believe it or not, kids, you have listened to us blather on and on.
And on.
About funny books and disasters.
Yeah. Keep those books safe and keep yourself safer.
And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
Corey, I gotta tell you, after a disappointing summer, have you ever really thought about how uncomfortable testicles really are? Hit my music.
I am so, so glad that I wear boxer briefs.
Done, bitches!